guys for being here today. I'll let you take just a moment and find your seats, and we'll get started. So I'm going to start out today with a shout out to Buddy Callahan in Yap. Buddy said, I think it's midnight in Yap, I believe he said, but Buddy's watching us. So Buddy, hello. Buddy's on a mission. He's on a mission trip in Yap. He's a member of our class. Been there, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks probably, and I think he has maybe a couple more weeks to go, and then he'll be back with us. So, Buddy, thanks for watching us. Thank all of you for being here. If you're visiting, thank you for being here. Please come back and see us. That kind of made it sound like if you're a regular attender, I didn't want you to come back, so I guess I should amend that. If you're a regular attender, please come back and see us too, or I'll feel really crazy standing up here talking to an empty room. All right, well, thank you all for being here. Dan is also out today, and as I think I said a week or two ago, if he's able to make bail, he'll be back with us next week, okay? So here's how class is going to go today. We're going to have a word from Todd and Tammy Williams, and then Larry Gallion is going to read a letter from Florida, and then our teacher, Larry Stover, is going to take over the class today. And Larry, I'm really glad to see you. Because I was wondering if we were going to have to improvise a bit today. I saw Linda there. Now, word on the street, this would have been my personal backup plan, I guess, if Larry had not shown up. Word on the street is that Linda has spent most of her life preaching sermons to Larry at home, so I was just going to call her up here, and I think we would have been okay. I think, all right. So I think we got a game plan. So. Todd and Tammy Williams, if you got, and you know, I just realized this. I only have one microphone, so I mean, I could stand in the middle, do like in basketball, you know, do one of these, or you guys can share whatever you want to do. You want to share it? All right. I was hoping for the basketball option, but we can share.
It's okay. Good morning. We just wanted to talk for just a few minutes about something that the Lord has laid on our hearts and just kind of given awareness of a situation. But first of all, I was going to ask you a few questions. These are not trick questions. So just raise your hand if you have a bedroom in your house that is not being currently occupied full time. Like if you have a guest bedroom or maybe a bedroom that was your kids and they've moved out and so nobody's no longer using it right now. Okay, so now raise your hand if you have a couch in your house. Okay, now raise your hand if you have a floor, just any kind of a floor space. I'm sure we all do. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is we're just trying to make aware of the foster situation in Tennessee. Currently, there are 9,000 children in foster care through no fault of their own, and there's only 4,000 foster homes available. So right now, those children are being put wherever they can find. Like the Isaiah 7-Eleven house is full and running over. The DCS offices are full. Those children are spending the night in the DCS office floors. Actually, they've been putting some in jail cells because there's nowhere else for them to go. Since COVID, it's been an extreme crisis in Tennessee. There's a huge opioid crisis and drug crisis around our area, just in our backyard. And these children, through no fault of their own, have nowhere to go. No one to love on them. And before we started in foster care, I was just totally unaware of the situation. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and just encourage you to just think about foster care. Right now, whenever we went through our licensing, it was a lot harder to get licensed. We had to travel. And we had to go to meetings, and we had to get so many hours in and things like that. And then when COVID came, they put everything online, which made it super easy. I was like, Why would we not be able to, you know? And now, not only is it online, but they are fast-tracking everybody. So to be able to get your license is super easy right now and very quick because they're in such a need for foster parents. And even if you're not interested in full-time foster care, they need respite, which is just like giving foster parents a break, just maybe for a Friday night or a Saturday night, or emergency placements whenever they have to remove children from their home, just an emergency placement for overnight, or a temporary placement just for a week or two. It's not all permanent. And another thing that we've found out since working in foster care, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about the children. They're not all sexually abused, and they're not all severely messed up. Some are, I'll be honest. Some are. But some just have issues, you know, like any kid would. And they just need a home and somebody to love on them. Also, during COVID, a lot of the foster parents that were in their 80s taking care of newborns, they've either died from COVID. A lot of them have passed on. So that's why there's such a huge need right now. And, you know, these children come with just the clothes that's on their back. They don't have any food. They don't have any toys. They don't have anything, just to be honest. Most of the stories we've heard are mom and dads that sell everything so they can get money for drugs. I mean, all the children's clothes, all the children's toys. The biggest problem we've had doing respite or emergency care is that children will hoard food because they never know if they're going to have food. So, like, whenever they eat supper, we found food underneath their pillows or something like that the next morning, which to me, you know, it's not a huge problem. They just need love and care and reassurance that they're going to have food. And that's just right in our backyard, in our area. It's just a huge, huge, huge need. And right now, you don't even have to have a room. The children can sleep on your couch. They can even sleep on your floor. That's how bad it is. We get texts every day asking for multiple placements that are needed.
And sometimes, sorry, in the middle of the night, because, you know, that's a bad situation when they're calling you at 2 in the morning because they've had to be taken out from the police during the night. So,
mm-hmm.
So that emergency care, the rest, I mean, just if you can keep somebody for a couple of nights or aid somebody that does, it's not just taking them into your own home. We've had a neighbor that's been like a godmother to Sadie, and she's been a blessing because as we're up in age, our parents aren't exactly as willing to take care of a young one as when our 26, 21-year-old and 16-year-olds were little, you know. So if you can, it's sort of like adopting somebody that you know is fostering. That's been a huge help, mm-hmm. to just have somebody to just, you know, fill in the gaps when you can't take care of them for a couple hours because you got an appointment or taking your parents to appointments. It's just really a blessing to... You don't even have to officially be in the system, I guess is what I'm saying. You can just adopt somebody that you know is fostering just to maybe babysit or just help them out, things like that. Or give to, there's a place called Smile, mm-hmm. and I'm sorry I didn't bring a resource sheet. It's over near Adeline, it's Methodist Church there on Kingsport, now Center Street, I believe. And they just, when we got Sadie from the hospital at 3 days old, we didn't have anything. They called us Friday night, 7:15. And they said, "Hey, we got stuff. Come and get, you know, like just temporary stuff."
They gave us the everything,
bassinet and things like that, until we could just make sure we had everything that we needed. So there's so many little areas you can step in and do. It's not just officially fostering.
And that's called wrapping, like wrapping foster families with love. Maybe offering a meal if you know somebody gets a placement. They're going to have a lot to do at the beginning, so maybe taking them a meal or maybe dropping some clothes off for the child, or maybe dropping some diapers off. Just anything, you know, if you don't feel led. I know not everybody's led to be a foster parent. Not everybody can be a foster parent, but I feel like everybody can help in some way. You know, just even those little ways make a big difference.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to touch. I know everybody's heard this verse, but talking in James 1:27, that pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Well, obviously, fostering is more than visiting, but it can be the fatherless. But you know, I guess orphan—we don't have the orphanages like in the sense that we used to. It seems like government wants to get into everything. So, but you're when you're keeping a child for a couple of days and a respite, that's definitely, I think, definitely relates to, is relevant to visiting the fatherless, you know. And I'm sure there's people out there that thought like me. Tammy probably talked to me about 3 years for this, so I'm not up here acting like, oh, yeah, we just did this. I was very reluctant and sometimes question my sanity still. But
it has probably been the hardest thing we've ever done.
But it's been very rewarding.
But probably the most rewarding thing we've ever done, to be honest.
And again, I don't, like Tammy said, not everybody's, I wasn't for 3 years. But it's, I just think there is something maybe you can pray about that you could do. And other, I know other people are involved in ministries that we're not, and the one greater works there. So, I mean, it's just fine. Obviously, people have their area that God's laid on their heart. So.
But if you have any questions, feel free to Facebook me or call me or whatever. Like I said, right now you can get licensed really fast and really easy. I wish it was that way when we did it.
Yeah.
And they have lots of resources out there, and it's just if just two or three families in each, even church. Baptist church in Tennessee would step up and take these children. I did my research on about how many Baptist churches are in Tennessee, not even other churches, but just Baptist churches. If just two or three families in each church would step up and take these families, and then the other members love on these families, you know, these children would have somewhere to live. And just one more thing, you come in contact with so many people when you're fostering. They have a caseworker, you have a support worker, so you get to share your faith with a ton of people. If you're in touch with the biological family, you get to share your faith with them. There's no legalization or limitation. You can share your faith with whoever you want to. And if you're taking them to physical therapy or occupational therapy or speech therapy, anything like that, all those places is an open door for you to be able to share your faith. So it really is a neat thing. But thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Mark.
All right, well, thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've seen here a passion for children that Todd and Tammy Williams have. So thank you for sharing that with us. Larry Gallion is going to come and read us a letter from Florida.
Thank you, Mark. First of all, I want to thank you for praying for Benjamin. He is safe in England. He's hit the ground running. He's already been told he's got a list of stuff to do. So you just continue to pray for him that God will help him. This letter is from Pastor Tom Sexton. Some of you may know him. He's been in our church in years past. He's the brother to Clarence Sexton over at Temple Baptist in Knoxville. I'm not going to read the whole letter. I'll tell you the gist of it. Brother Sexton is from Coral Gables, Florida. He says that their church has had damage. A big air conditioner blew away, and there's some damage to buildings. And on a personal note, his house is destroyed. He was sorrowful for his wife that has had all of her memories destroyed and gone. A book that he was working on is destroyed and gone, been working on for 2 years. But the thing that remarked in my mind, this man has lost everything, but he wants us to pray for the people that have come down to help them, that they will come across dedicated Christian people that will tell him about Jesus. A man that's lost everything They had no deaths in their church, just people with loss of personal property. But he's concerned about souls. We have so much to be grateful and thankful for here in Northeast Tennessee. When I first saw that storm track and how it was going to come up over our area, I began to pray. My basement has a tendency to flood in torrential rains. I began to pray, God moved that storm on east, and all we got was some just gentle rains and no torrential things. But let's do pray for the people in Florida. You know, I've not heard anything about Gary and Debbie, how they fared in all of this. But let's do pray for them, and God will give them grace, give them help, and help them to be a witness to the construction workers and people that are down there.
All right, thank you, Larry. Well, we've all seen the pictures, haven't we? All seen the videos. Terrible thing that happened. I have a client that I'm working with in Florida that it's a hospital system, and some of their hospitals have been flooded. They're moving patients up to get away from the water. You may have seen some of that. The team that I'm working with has gone completely dark. I don't know what's happened to any of them. They're not on our meetings anymore because, you know, the cell service is out and electricity's out, water is out, so it's bad. We've all seen it, and so Larry, thank you for sharing that with us. All right, let me grab my glasses. How about that? All right, we will look at their anniversaries and birthdays. So I do not have any anniversaries this week. Does anybody have an anniversary that we'd like to recognize you? Anyone this week? No? All right, birthdays. Yesterday, Bobby Briggs. I thought I saw Bobby somewhere. Bobby, happy birthday. And I was informed to not divulge your age, which I will not do. Why is everybody laughing? I just said I wouldn't do it. But you can now get senior discounts, so welcome to the club, man. All right, yes, waited your whole life for that. David Hayes yesterday as well. Sean Gross on the 4th, Steve Smith on the 7th, and Matthew Hayes on the 8th. That's birthdays. Any birthdays we missed? Anyone? All right, well, happy birthday to those I read off. Let me update the prayer list right quick. One praise, Ben arrived, Larry's already mentioned this, arrived safely in England, and let's see, Arlene Smith family, death of a neighbor, Leroy. So I think I saw Leroy somewhere. Where's Leroy? Did I see him? There he is. So this is your neighbor? So we'll remember your neighbor's family in a death. Okay. All right. All right, well, let's pray. And then Larry Stover is going to come bring our lesson to us today. By the way, Brother Dan is not really in jail. I hope some of y'all aren't too sure about that. Now, he's actually preaching in a mission conference, so that's where he is. He will be back with us next week. So let's open up in prayer. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given to us. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's really not too difficult for us sitting right here to rejoice, most of us. But what if we were in Florida, like Larry read in this letter? How would we get up and rejoice in the day that you'd given us? Well, the Bible says we're supposed to do that no matter where we are. Think of a man in the Bible named Job that lost everything as well. Job went through some tough times. In the end, he found a way to rejoice. And I want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Florida. All of us probably know somebody down there that was affected. And I want to pray that you'd give them grace and strength and help through this terrible time. And as funny as it may sound, give them something to rejoice about today. Some of them, like our brother here that was mentioned in the letter, has lost everything. But you can still give him something to rejoice about. Give each one some type of encouragement today. If not from another person, just reach down and be close to them. Let them feel your presence, feel your love for them. We know bad things happen in our world, and we know the root cause. We don't always know why things like this happen, but here we are, able to pray, able to reach up and ask you to help people that's hundreds of miles away, and I just pray for them today. All our brothers and sisters that are down there, I want to pray for people down there who may be unsaved, who are going to be reached with someone that can tell them about Jesus, tell them about the gospel as they come down there to help. And that's what our brother in the letter asked to pray for, and so we're praying for that today. I want to pray for Leroy's neighbor, the family there in that death, that you bring comfort and peace to them. I want to give you thanks that Ben was able to make it safely back to England. Now, bless his ministry and his time while he's over there. I want to pray for Buddy while he's still in Yap, and the work that he has left to do to finish, and I just pray for give him strength and just help him through that work, Lord. Then bless Brother Larry as he comes here in just a few moments and brings our lesson today. Help Brother Dan there as he's preaching in a mission conference. And once again, we thank you for this time we have together here. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll give you the lapel mic. Is that good? Probably better.
All right. All you have to do is put it on. They said it's controlled up there.
Hope I can get this on correctly. Now, is that coming in loud and clear? Usually, my voice carries out well enough that I don't need a mic, but anyway, it's good to see all you folks. I enjoy this class. I really do. I enjoy the people that's in this class. That's what makes this class. And I enjoy the people that's in this church. We went to a beautiful wedding yesterday of one of our young couples, and we got two more weddings coming up from young couples. And most of us are past the age where anybody would call us young. But us older ones are blessed to have all these young people around us that are trying to live for the Lord. We need to set them good examples. We need to make them feel welcome in our church. And anytime you see someone come in here that you don't recognize, you need to make them feel welcome. Because we're getting tons of visitors right now. And they'll be felt welcome from the pulpit, but we need to make them feel welcome from the congregation. And let them know that we're glad they're here. I mean, they could have chosen to stay at home or whatever. So Linda and I greet the visitors, first-time visitors as they're going out. But I got to thinking, we need to be greeting them as they're coming in. And thanking them for being here. So if you feel like you're a visitor today, we're glad to have you, or I'm glad to have you. And you may not come back if you think I'm going to teach again, but I want you to come back and hear our regular teacher, because I've really gotten to where I really enjoy his classes. I really have. It was a change from Gary. I've been in Gary's class for years, and I subbed a lot for Gary when he was going to be gone or something. And I was concerned about the class going from Gary and his style of teaching and everything. And but I've been pleasantly pleased and blessed to be in Brother Dan's class. He always has a good lesson, something interesting. And then I enjoy Mark and the others that have comments. I enjoy Gerald's comments about adopting and about your line of work that you've gotten into. And if I was looking for a sales girl at my dealership, you'd be hired tomorrow. Because you did a good job of selling that program. Made me interested in it. And I would never thought that I would ever be interested in something like that. Made me feel guilty about having a lot of extra bedrooms and couches and stuff like that. I'm going to have to get rid of some of that furniture or something. But anyway, thank you for being here today. And when Dan asked me to teach, I kept wondering what I was going to teach about. And I've talked lots of times, and I have a stack of notes that I'd made from lessons in Gary's class when I was sub for him. And Roger and I talked together for young kids for a long time till we got too old to do it. So I had plenty of notes. And so I started going through them, and I was thinking about Mark Clark. He told me about a lesson that I taught one time that had an impact on his life about giving to missions. And I said, well, that would be a good lesson to teach. Could not find those notes. I went through all those notes looking for those. And I thought, well, maybe the Lord didn't want me to talk about that today. And so I went through my all and got down to my study Bible. And I just happened to turn it open to where I had it marked. It was Romans chapter 12. And so the Lord just impressed upon me. I didn't need any notes. Paul's given us notes that we need just in these 21 verses in Romans chapter 12. So for these next few minutes, that's what we're going to talk about. I will tell you, I have a report from Gary and Debbie. I've talked to them a few times this week. They are doing well. There was no death in their church. The first day I talked to him was the day the flood really hit. And they just had a little bit of phone service. They didn't have any power or water or anything else. And they were out looking for some of their older couples in their church that they were really concerned about. And they'd found them all but one. They finally found the other ones, and they were really concerned about them. They were elderly. They found them in the second story of their home. The first story was completely underwater, up on top of furniture and stuff, I think is what he was saying, in the second story of their home. And today, as they're meeting in their church was not terribly destroyed or anything like that. They'll have to replace a lot of stuff. But they had eight couples that lost everything they owned. And it's hard for me to imagine. And some of them were older folks. And some of them maybe just young couples. I'm not sure the ages groups of all of them. But there was eight couples that lost everything. Completely destroyed. Their homes, their furniture, their belongings, their mementos. Anything that could be washed away was washed away. And so his church today is giving each of those couples $1,000 to help them just kind of get going. And I was talking to somebody out in the vestibule this morning about how insurance works. If they didn't have flood insurance, they might not get anything. If they didn't have hurricane insurance, they may not get anything. And if they did have all the insurance that they could get, they still probably have a big deductible. That $1,000 might not even pay their deductible. So there's some folks down there, fellow Christians, that have a relationship to our church that are hurting. And so that $1,000 they're getting, I'm encouraging our church to do the same thing that Gary's church is going to do. And that we can send $8,000 down there from our church. And you can designate it in your tithing envelope that you want that, whatever you want to give, if it's $5 or $10, or if you want to give $1,000, you can designate it to go to Gary's church. And I think the deacons and the pastor are all on board with doing what all we can do for his church. And Gary meant a lot to this church. He really did, and his family did. And we missed him. But it was time for the change that we had. And I don't regret the change that we had. And I think that Gary going down there has made a difference down there that wouldn't have been made if he hadn't gone down there. He's just doing what the Lord wanted to do. And sometimes the Lord works in mysterious ways to get us to do what maybe we don't want to do, but it was in His will. And so I think we need to support them just as if they were up here today. And but that's the message from Gary and Debbie, and they're doing fine. And Hannah and her family was living in a church home that was right beside the church, and it was pretty well flooded out, and so they're having to move out. But we made arrangements for them. I'm in the camper business down 2 miles from the Florida line, and so we're sending a camper down for them to stay in until they can get things straightened out, and which was no big deal for us. So don't think that we're doing something out of the way. I could have done that for a stranger, but I wanted to do it for them because they were afraid for her. They got a newborn baby. I don't know how old their baby is, but afraid of mold and mildew and stuff around that new baby. But anyway, that's the story about Gary and Debbie and their family. And let's keep them in our prayers. And I'll tell you what, we can be so thankful for where we live. That storm passed your house, and it passed our house, and passed all your houses. And it could have come right through here and wiped us all out. And then people in Florida hadn't been taking up a collection for us. So count your blessings. Every day you've got something to be thankful for. But as I got into reading chapter 12 in Romans, my favorite Bible preacher that I read after about every day is J. Vernon McGee. I don't know if I've encouraged people to read after him and through the Bible. And you can't hardly read a chapter a day unless you've got 2 or 3 hours of him describing it. But he goes into great detail, and he puts it, as he says, where the rubber meets the road. And he brings the scripture out in such a glorious way. And it's like having a Sunday school lesson or a good preaching service every time I read after him. So I would encourage you to get his book or listen to his CDs or whatever. And it's been a blessing to me. And it was a blessing to me to read his comments on chapter 12. I hope I can give you just a few of them. But in chapter 12 of Romans, we'll start with the first verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. He's talking to us. The Lord told Paul, said, there'll be somebody in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church in 2022 that's your brethren. And you need to speak to them. And this is what he says. By the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, or your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He never asks us to do anything unreasonable. I tell you what, I worked at the Eastman for 8 years before I ever got in business for myself. And I thought they were asking me to do unreasonable things about every day. They were just asking me to do my job, but I thought it was unreasonable until I got employees of my own. And then I started asking them to do their jobs, and they thought it was unreasonable what I was asking them to do. But we have a reasonable service that we're to do as Christians, as members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, or just visitors in Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I count you just as important as I count any member here, if you're just a visitor. We have something that we need to do, and the Lord told Paul to put it down. It's just your reasonable service. It's nothing unreasonable. It's not a thing that we shouldn't be doing without being told to do it. And says, one of the first things, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now that would seem a little unreasonable to some of us. The sacrifice that we're most familiar with was the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And I can't imagine me being willing to give my life. I can maybe do it for the ones that I really, really love, but to do it for people that don't love me, and maybe for people that hate me, or people that despitefully use me, or something like that, I couldn't do that. I couldn't be the sacrifice like that. But to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That means that we're, as we're living, we're willing to do for others what needs to be done for them. And as Christians, I think that's our calling. Just like they were talking about adoption and care for these kids that's just been thrown around and abused, and or the parents that gone off on drugs and stuff. And it's our duty to help people like that as Christian people. There's no sense having the name out there, Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, if we're not going to be a church. And we're all members of it. And we need, or we're part of this church, whether you're a member or not. I consider you a member. And I think that it's our duty to step up to the plate, as they say. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world." And boy, I'll tell you what, that's a hard thing for me to do. I like to conform to this world. I don't like to stand like a sore thumb. I want to conform and be like everybody else. I want to dress like everybody. Well, no, I don't want to dress like everybody else dresses today, but when I was a teenager, I wanted to look like the rest of the teenagers looked. I don't want to look like the teenagers do today, but it's easy to conform. It's hard to not conform when you know that it's not the right thing for you to be doing. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The biggest problem I have in my life is my mind. Thinking the things that I should think and not thinking the things that I shouldn't think. I need to keep my mind on track. You see people that they say they've lost their mind. There's a lot of people that's lost their mind, but they're not on drugs. They're not out drunk or anything like that. They're just not living the way that the Lord wants them to live, and the Lord will straighten them out. And it's not a lot of fun when the Lord straightens you out. It really isn't. He's had to do that to me a few times. And be ye transferred by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. People are looking for us as members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church to live what we preach and what we teach and what this church stands for. And how are we going to do that? We've got to prove it to the people in our neighborhoods and our friends and our families that we are actually Christians and that we are actually living for the Lord. We're actually believing the Bible, that it's completely true, and that we actually believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was the Son of God, and that this Bible is true from cover to cover. And we have to prove it to them by the way we live. We can talk it all we want to talk it, but if they see you doing what they think that a Christian shouldn't do, and everybody's got an opinion of what a Christian ought to be doing. I've got opinions of them. I've got opinions of what I should be doing, and sometimes I even fail myself. I say, now a Christian man wouldn't think that, or a Christian man wouldn't say that. And sometimes I find myself doing those very things, but the general public is looking at us to prove what we've got here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I think it's our responsibility to live up to that responsibility every day in our business life, in our personal lives. If you go to a ball game, and at that ball game you're cheering for your team, you cheer for them in the right way. And you respect the authorities. I hate getting tickets, speeding tickets. And I like to drive faster than I should. And so I get sideways and end up getting a ticket. I just go ahead and pay my ticket and try to watch it from then on and keep that radar detector going so that I can prove. I wouldn't. That radar detector said that you're wrong, but we need to prove our Christianity. And I know that doesn't sound really right, but how else are you going to witness to people? How else are you going to convince people that going to church and living right is the right thing that they ought to be doing if you don't live it yourself? And if they can't see it in your life. The next verse says, "For I say, though through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he might, than he ought to think." Boy, that hit home to me. It's so hard for me to not think more highly of myself than I really am. And then when I really examine myself, I find out that I'm not up there with the elite that I thought I was with. Or I wasn't considered the elite that I should have been considered. If somebody thinks highly of me, I want them to think highly of me as being a good Christian man. And that's hard to live up to. But that's what I wish now that I'm older. Now, when I was a young man, I didn't think too much about that. But as I've gotten older, I realize how important it is for us to set a good example as older people for these younger men that's coming up on how we live, how we talk, how we act, how we give. I mean, it's so important for us to live what we are and be what we're supposed to be. And then don't think of yourself because you did something right that, boy, I've achieved it. I'm the top dog. We can't be that way and have a true Christian character. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. But to think soberly. You don't have to get drunk to think unsoberly. You don't have to get drunk to act a fool. You have to be sober in all your thoughts, in your actions, and everything you do as a Christian, because everybody's watching us, whether you realize it or not. Your neighbors are watching you. I watch my neighbors. I was seeing how many of them was going to church this morning when it was pulling down the street. I watched my neighbors next door. They left out early. They went to early church where they go to church. And I'm sure they watch us. I want every time that the church door is open, I want my neighbors to know that Lynn and I are going to church. Now, sometimes we'll be on vacation or something like that. I want the people I'm on vacation around to know that I'm going to go to church if I'm around the church there. And that's the way I want the neighbors to think of us. I want my friends to think of us. And I want to think soberly myself, as according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And God's been good to us. He's given us that measure of faith that, money can't buy it. And talent can't buy it. He's given it to us. And so we need to be thankful for it and show it to other people so that they'll want that same faith that we have. Verse 4 says, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office." We've got many members in this class today, many members in this church today. And I'm thankful for every one of them. I'm thankful for the person that's the least liked to the person that's most liked. I'm thankful for the pastor. And I'll tell you what, his wife's sitting in here, but he knows how I feel about him. And I hope that you're encouraging him to be the pastor that the Lord wants him to be. And I think he's doing a great job. He came into a jumbled mess, to be honest with you. And he's done a tremendous job. There's a lot of new faces in here that weren't here when he came. And they're here because they came and liked what they heard. And a lot of people have been one of the Lord since he's been here, which is his job. That's the reason the Lord sent him here, because the Lord knew what we needed, and that's the reason the Lord sent him here. And we all don't have the same job. We all don't have the same abilities. Goodness gracious, there's lots of folks who can stand up here and do a better job than what I'm doing, but I just do what I can do. You can do the same thing in whatever your opportunity might be. You have an opportunity today. Shake somebody's hand and say, boy, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're part of our church family. We can all do that. I don't care how shy you are. You can do that. And make somebody, you can't ever tell. It might make a difference in them coming back or not to our church. Verse 5 says, so being many, we are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. I hope you feel that way about our church family. Hope you feel like that you're a member of a family of God. And that family is located right here in this church. And we're blessed to have that. And verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. We all have different gifts. Somebody can sing, somebody can teach, somebody can witness. We can all be friendly. We can all have that gift of friendship and care about our fellow brothers and care about our visitors and stuff. And of course, my time is gone. I could have gone like J. Vernon McGee and took about 3 hours on this. When you get home, finish reading the chapter 12 in Romans. It'll speak to your hearts. It did to mine. And I think that we all have something to be so thankful for. Thankful that we're able to be here today and be among our friends. And I count you all as my friend. I may not remember your names. I'm getting the world's worst about forgetting names. But some of them have been burned into my mind. I'll never forget, Roger. But Roger and I talked together for a long time, and so we kid each other a lot. But I love Roger, and I love all of you. I really do. And I hope that we'll all love each other and because Christ loved us first. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for speaking to my heart. And I pray that your word is spoken to each one of these individual hearts that's in here today. I pray for Pastor Herman as he preaches today. Pray for the choir as they sing. And may everything be done to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.